Let's turn now to state politics and the latest in our series of conversations with the candidates running to be the next governor of Massachusetts. Today, Evan Falchuk is back with us. He's running as an independent under the banner of what he calls the United Independent Party. One of his goals is to get at least 3% of the vote in November, which would give his third party official status in Massachusetts. That would mean an official party primary and the nominating convention in 2016 and the possibility of a three-party system in Massachusetts. Falchuk lives in Newton. He's an attorney, a former lawyer at the Securities and Exchange Commission, and the former president of the global health firm Best Doctors, Inc. And Evan Falchuk, welcome back to Radio Boston. It's great to have you.
It's a pleasure to be with you.
So, Scott Lehigh of the Boston Globe describes your guiding principles like this. I want to read them because it's just crisp. Everybody is equal. Everybody's civil rights must be protected. The government has to spend taxpayers' dollars wisely. You call yourself socially progressive, fiscally moderate. So how would you describe what the United Independent Party is?
It is about challenging the establishment. We've got a government system today that does not take people seriously or treat them seriously. It's become captured by large moneyed interests and isn't representing the needs of ordinary people.
Mm. Do you think that's true in because I hear that description a lot about what's going on in Washington. Is that also what's going on here in Massachusetts?
It certainly is. And you see what it comes down to in Massachusetts. Think about this. A majority of our legislators are running unopposed. Only 27% of people voted in the last statewide election. We see things happening like not enough funding for programs for education, for veterans, for seniors, for all sorts of very high priorities. But suddenly $1 billion becomes available to build out the convention center in Boston. I don't think that's going to change just by tweaking around the edges at our political processes, but rather by building a new coalition of people who believe in the things that I just described, and it's bigger than most people think, and get them to vote and to create a new framework for a permanent independent voice in our politics that will not be tied to these interests.
Well, let me ask you about this, though, about why you think Massachusetts needs a third party, because one could argue that what this state needs isn't a third party, it needs a second party. I mean, shouldn't you be running as a Republican?
I should not be running as a Republican. I should be creating a new party. I agree with you completely that this will be a second party. That really is the goal here. The Republican Party is down to about 11% of registered voters, but the Democratic Party is at 35% of registered voters. So a majority of voters have chosen not to be associated with either of the two parties. We need to build that new framework. Mm. Now, the cost of living in Massachusetts is so high because of the monopolistic consolidation of hospitals, like partners into giant systems. There is no action from the state to really deal with this issue. And the reality is there is broad-based bipartisan agreement on all sorts of issues that are very, very important to ordinary voters, small business people all across the state, but they don't act on that basis. It will not change until we elect new people that will do it.
So what's the top? What's the top issue on that list of issues that ordinary voters care about that legislators are not dealing with?
The high cost of living in Massachusetts is the most important issue we face. And like I said, it's driven by the consolidation of hospitals. These mergers should not be allowed to happen, and we should be implementing a fee schedule like they've done in Maryland, where if we even knocked out 5% of the wasted expense in hospitals, that's $2 billion a year. We also don't construct housing. We just saw the failure of a bill in the legislature that would have updated some of our land use and planning laws to the 1980s, but they couldn't do it. The legislature spends most of its time not meeting, which is really one of the issues we face. And it comes down to a broken political process. Think about campaign finance and the way it works. And it's classic example of what's wrong with our political system. All of the strong words about how terrible it is to have too much money in politics. We've heard Martha Coakley complain about it this week, about the super PAC that Steve Grossman has. Today we see the news that Charlie Baker has a super PAC set up to support him. These super PACs make a mockery of our campaign finance system and laws and our democracy. And every time you listen to political leaders talk about them and say, oh, it's so terrible, it's particularly galling because they know damn well that there's things that they could do, even here at a state level. California and Vermont have led on this by calling for a constitutional convention to amend the federal constitution to declare that corporations aren't people and that money isn't speech. I called on more than a month ago all the other candidates in this race to join me in pledging that we will introduce legislation to do just that within the first 100 days.
You know what? If I'm listening to you as an ordinary person out there, I would sort of say, bravo, it's great, we've got to get money out of politics. But as you know, this has been a vexing, unresolved issue for generations. And it's almost like money in politics is like water running downhill. It finds a way through. I mean, forgive me my skepticism, but really,
people have to vote. There was an effort in the 1970s to start to control this, and people have been chipping away at it. And when people don't vote, when 27% of people vote, you know who wins? The establishment wins. They don't have to worry about 73% of voters. So what I tell people all the time, because I have to tell you, all across the Commonwealth, people say, I want things to be different. But they have to vote. When you think about that pledge I was talking about saying we have to amend our Constitution, we also don't see as much news coverage of these issues. I mean, I sent that challenge out to all sorts of news stations, including this one, to talk about this issue. And what we see is plenty of coverage of the complaining about money in politics, but not coverage about the reality that people could do something about it if they really wanted to. So the hypocrisy of the establishment is what has to be challenged. And the idea behind creating this new party is that there are a lot of people out there who feel the same way. And it's not just, oh, I want to protest or I don't like the way the system is. There's people that want to do real meaningful things to make people's lives and material conditions better in Massachusetts, and we can.
Let me ask you about a couple of the big issues that have been in the news lately. Unaccompanied migrant children. Let's talk about Governor Deval Patrick's proposal to temporarily house them. Of course, yesterday the feds announced that Massachusetts will not be needed. But I want to ask you what you made of the governor's proposal and the pushback against it. Would a Governor Falchuk have made a similar pitch?
I supported it. I was very open about this, that was the right thing. I think it's a good example of, again, what's wrong with our politics. Because on the right, we heard people saying some pretty horrible things about immigrants. And the protest that was happening in front of the State House was shameful, really shameful, where people were chanting all sorts of anti-Hispanic slurs. And I think that's wrong. On the other hand, I think it was not helpful for the governor to compare this issue to turning around a boat from people escaping from the Holocaust. But our politics has become that kind of mudslinging food fight, and not about the responsible leadership that says we've got a humanitarian crisis, there's laws that need to be followed, each state has an obligation to help. And it's very straightforward when you explain it to people. But it's not what happens in our politics. It will not change until we elect new people. We will not see that change until the people who are in that majority of voters vote.
I'd love to ask you as well about political patronage and the recent verdict in the racketeering trial of former probation chief John O'Brien. The trial, in part, centered on accusations of political corruption and patronage. And you recently told the Boston Globe that in a Falchuk administration, all jobs would be on merit only, and that you'd introduce legislation that would make patronage illegal. But I'd like to ask you more about that, because is that feasible? I mean, surely the idea of offering a job to somebody that you know, as long as they're qualified, is okay, right?
Right, of course. And any good, I'm a business person, and any good hire you make is going to include references. Yeah. This isn't, that trial was not about the idea that, hey, there were some people that got references. It was the idea that there was some kind of illegal activity going on in connection with those hires. The challenge we have is that it opened up a window into business as usual on Beacon Hill and in our government generally. Yeah. And some of it is just the ugliness of how legislation gets made, and some of it seems to have crossed the line into being illegal. If we don't like it, and you see there were legislators that were trying to get comments from, pressing a phone to their head saying, oh, I can't talk to you right now after that verdict came down. If we don't like it as voters, we have a responsibility to elect people who don't do business in that way. It shouldn't be hard to understand what it means to hire people for merit only. And what I called for very specifically was to say the Inspector General's office ought to have a unit based purely on this issue of proper hiring, so that we can be constantly scouring the ranks of our state employees to make sure that we've got the right people in these important jobs.
Let me ask one more question, though, about the O'Brien verdict, because one of the concerns raised by some about the verdict, and we've actually heard them on this show, is that this was the result of an aggressive federal prosecution which targeted a mid-level state official using a very squishy federal statute. As unpleasant as the whole sort of patronage scheme is to look at, does this case raise any concerns in your mind about federal prosecutorial overreach?
There's federal prosecutorial overreach happening all the time in our drug war with the people that are being locked up, particularly in communities of color, for low-level offenses. Maybe this is an example of it, too, although the jury seems to have agreed that there were crimes committed.
Yeah.
But if we're going to talk about prosecutorial overreach, we got to be real about this. And it always becomes exciting and titillating to talk about that kind of a story, but we've got much broader issues happening in our democracy. And again, this is what's wrong. Most voters know that the world does not revolve around the issue of this probation trial, it's an interesting indicator of what's wrong with our politics. These much larger issues not being addressed in our politics is the thing that makes people anxious and uncertain. But it is fundamentally the driver behind why the United Independent Party is going to be successful, and ideally in the Falchuk for Governor campaign, we're going to be successful at being the first independent administration in Massachusetts history.
Okay, we've only got about, 2 minutes left or so, or even less. So I want to do, if it's okay, to the extent that this is possible, some rapid-fire questions, maybe even one-word answers, though I know that's a tricky proposition for people in your position, but I'm going to try, okay? So how will you vote on the ballot question on casinos? Are you in favor of casinos or against them?
I'll be voting against the repeal of that law. This is, and I want to say this because what's wrong with our democracy is that we voted, the cities and towns voted, and people have to be able to lose and move forward. So we got to move forward.
Okay. Supreme Court decision striking down the Massachusetts buffer zone law. Good decision, bad decision?
They found that buffer zone was unconstitutional. I think we need to be protecting women going into clinics. I mean, it's right here across the street to make sure this happens. I think our establishment failed us by not passing a law and creating a law that was constitutional. To lose 9-0 at this Supreme Court is quite an accomplishment. Not one to be proud of.
Okay, so the state did pass a new law. Are you confident that it will pass constitutional muster?
I don't know. I'm worried about it. My concern about the first buffer zone law is that the case made it possible to say that all buffer zones were unconstitutional, and this one has a kind of buffer zone in it. We need to have physical security and do whatever it takes to make sure that women are able to have access to those clinics.
Okay, you're doing great. You're answering these really
these
not
are one word,
but you're getting close. I'm impressed.
Thank you.
Okay, Boston hosting the 2024 Olympics. Good idea?
Bad idea.
Okay, bad idea. Okay, you
should
have to tell
not
me
be
why.
Because it's a huge amount of money for a purpose that's not clear to me, and we've got other priorities that are more important. We need cheaper health care. We need more affordable housing. Mm-hmm. The Olympics does not provide either of those things, so I am firmly against
that. Firmly against it. Okay, most important, this should have been on top of our list. Were the Red Sox right to dump Lester, Lackey, Miller, Gomes, and keep Buchholz?
Yeah, they did a great job. They've always been creative. The ability to get the return that they did for those players is remarkable, and I've got great admiration. Those guys have won 3 World Series in the last decade.
All right, can't argue with success, right?
You cannot. Okay. Not that success.
All right, final question that we've been asking all our candidates. Tell us something that we haven't heard about them. Tell me something a little personal about Evan Falchuk that helps listeners know who you are as a person.
That people have not heard about.
Yeah.
I'm a kind of amateur backyard astronomer. I like to put my telescope back out there, show my wife Felicia and our 3 kids who are 14, 11, and 7, let them see the rings of Saturn, the moons of Jupiter. We even ran out one night. I saw on Twitter that the space station was passing by, and I had everybody run out during dinner so we could go see it, and it was really cool. And these are the important things, I think, in families, to have those kinds of connections.
All right. Evan Falchuk, he's an independent running for governor. He's also an amateur backyard astronomer. We just learned that. Evan, thank you very much for coming in.
Thanks.
Listeners, stay with us. Coming up, has the Democratic Party lost its way, and is it time for a populist uprising? I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.